morning. Let's together turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew, the first chapter. We just had a chance to come back from the annual Pepperdine Lectures, and it's something we've been doing. Started going to that event back in 1986 and only missed a couple years. And it's the highlight of our year, so we're really sort of on that spiritual high, you know, that you get when you have that kind of fellowship. And I know many of you were there. And if you haven't had an opportunity to go there, I want to encourage you to do that. It's the first week in May next year, and it's a great occasion. Also, I'm most happy to announce that Jackie is here now for good. She came here on a one-way ticket, and she's here. And maybe that's why I'm smiling a little bit more maybe this morning. I don't know. But we want to wish all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day. And, of course, I have a special sermon prepared for you this morning. I want you to think about if you were to ask mothers, if you were to ask them to rank on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, if you were to ask them how difficult is the task of being a mother, what do you think they would say? Well, I did this. I did this last week. Asked a few mothers to rank on a scale of 1 to 10 how difficult is the task. You know what answer they came up with? 11. Now, if you were to ask the same question to a group of men, their answers are going to be a little bit lower, aren't they? 5, 6. You know, it's not that bad. Honey, the baby's crying, by the way. Well, the fact is, being a mother is a difficult and challenging job, isn't it? And that's why we want to honor them today. During one of our flights from Sacramento back to Detroit, Jackie and I, of course, there's no direct flight, so we typically go through Phoenix. And from Phoenix to Detroit, it's about 3.5 hours. Well, we got lucky that day, and we got a seat right behind a mother and a two-year-old. Now, keep in mind, this flight is 3.5 hours. This is no exaggeration. For 3 hours, this child screamed. And, of course, you know, being a Christian, you kind of wonder how you should behave. And who knows, maybe this lady could be a member of my church. I don't even know yet. So I was conscious of what I was going to do. And of course, you know, the Lord, through the power of the Spirit, gave me patience for about 3 hours. But about at that three-hour point, I said to Jackie, I looked over, I said, should I say something? And she was kind of looking at me, well, you should have said something 2 hours ago, you know. And so, you know, I tried to think about what would be good to say. And so here's what I said. I tapped her on the shoulder, looked at her. And I could tell she was beyond frustrated. You know, frustrated had left a long time ago. But I said to her, I said, well, how are we doing up there? And, you know, she looks at me and she says, he doesn't like the seatbelt. And besides, he's 2 years old. Now, what I read into that statement was this. I'm having a problem parenting because of my child. He's two. He doesn't like this. And if my child was different, then my job of parenting would also be different. If only my child was, and you can fill in the blank, then my task of mothering would be easier. Well, this morning, I want to challenge that thought. Because, again, not being a mother, but observing motherhood and mothering. My belief is that being a mother is a difficult job, even if you are the mother of a perfect child. Now, what if you were? What if your child indeed was perfect? As a matter of fact, think about that just for a moment. How would you describe the perfect child? Well, during the pregnancy. There's no morning sickness, no cravings for pickles and chocolate. That when the labor comes, it's short, easy delivery. When the baby finally comes, she identifies her cries. In other words, this cry means, I'm hungry, and she points to her mouth. This cry means, I'm sleepy, she points to her eyes. This cry means, I need to change, she points somewhere else. She sleeps all night. He burps within 15 seconds. How about that? And then when you take the child on the airplane, he sleeps the whole way, even if he's two. Well, what would that be like if you were the mother of a perfect child? We want to look at a mother this morning. And of course, the mother that we want to look at this morning is none other than Mary herself. Mary was the mother of the perfect child, Jesus. What I want to suggest, however, is that even though Mary was the mother of a perfect child, Mary still had difficulties as a mother. The first challenge that Mary had that I want to talk about is what I call Mary's problem pregnancy. Mary had a problem pregnancy. It was not so much a physical problem. It was more a social problem. Well, let's look at how the scripture describes the conception of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. In verse 18, the Bible says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Back in December of 2006, there was a movie that was released. It was called The Nativity Story. How many of you remember seeing that? It's a beautiful depiction of the story of the birth of Jesus. It was written by Mike Rich, who also, by the way, wrote Finding Forrester and The Rookie. But in this story, what Mike Rich does is he expands on what possibly happened between what is said in verses 18 and 19. Verse 18, it says that she was found to be pregnant. Verse 19 says Joseph decided to divorce her, and then there's the dream and so forth. Well, this story is pictured in a very dramatic way. And what happens is Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, of course, the mother of John the Baptist, and she's there for a number of months. And then there's this scene in which she comes back to the village. She's there on the cart. She comes back. Everybody's excited to see her. Joseph is getting, matter of fact, his friend is preparing him, grooming him, you know, making sure he's all looking just right to see Mary because he hadn't seen her in months. And so she comes into the village, and she gets off of the cart. And one of the first scenes is this child who comes up to Mary and she caresses her stomach because she notices that she's pregnant. And then, of course, Joseph, for the first time, sees this. Here is the woman I'm pledged to be married to, but yet she comes back and she's pregnant. Mary's father also, who, when he first hears that she's coming, he's also excited, but all of a sudden he sees her. And then he's shocked and he just stops in his tracks. Well, like Moses going through the Red Sea, Mary parts the two, Joseph and her father. They go into the home and she, I can't put it in any softer way, she's attacked by her father, by her mother, by Joseph. How can you do such a thing? The father even asked, was it one of the Roman soldiers? And so there is Mary standing there. She tries to explain, this child is from the Holy Spirit. Of course, that's a ridiculous idea. Can't you come up with a little better story than that? And so the conversation continues. She leaves the house. She goes to someone who apparently she works for, who gives her a small token that's part of her payment. But even though she is there, she opens the door, you can just tell by the expression on her face that she's not welcome there. The elders of the village look upon her with contempt. One day, Joseph is out. He's a carpenter, of course, and he's out gathering wood outside of the village. But he hears this noise, this roar. He walks back into the village, and he sees this crowd that has been gathered around. This crowd has gathered around Mary. They have taken up stones to kill her because of her adultery. They hand Joseph a stone. And as Joseph is reaching back to cast a stone at Mary, a man appears in front of him. He apparently was the angel. Joseph realizes it was all a dream. The angel communicates to him, this indeed is the Son of the Most High. The next morning, he goes to Mary and explains this to her and says, we shall call his name Jesus. Pregnancy is not an easy thing, but for Mary, it was especially challenging. There was another time in which Mary had, I believe, a challenge as a mother. And this, of course, was the time in which we read about the story of Mary and Jesus in the temple. You remember? Jesus was about 12 years old. The story is recorded in Luke chapter 2. In verse 41, the Bible says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. And after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a full day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts. Remember what he was doing? He was sitting among the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother came to him and said, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Have you ever lost your child? Or at least come close to losing your child? I remember when I was in graduate school back in the 80s in Seattle, I was at the administration building on the campus of the University of Washington. My daughter was about 2 years old, so we'd walked in. I went up to the counter, and I don't remember if I was paying for something or checking on classes, but I remember letting go of her hand and starting this conversation with the person at the counter. Well, just a moment passed. I looked down, and she was gone. Now, you know what happens right at that moment, right? Your heart starts racing, your breathing increases, and your blood pressure shoots up. It's like, where did she go? Of course, back then, you know, people were taking children, and, you know, the whole thing happens in your mind. You imagine the worst. It's like, where is she? It's like, so I went around. Hey, have you seen a little girl, you know, walking around here? After about 4 minutes, I went around the corner. There was a staircase going up to the next floor. There she was, climbing the steps. You know, you can imagine what Mary felt when she thought Jesus was with the group. He was nowhere to be found. They panicked. They went back to Jerusalem. And I can't imagine losing your child for 3 whole days. That I cannot imagine what that's like. But I want you to notice the anxiety that she felt. Here again, notice when they do find him. Verse 48 says, when the parents, mom and dad, when they saw him, they were astonished. But who was it that spoke up? It was mom. Don't you know that we have been anxiously searching for you? You know, moms kind of remind us of how they feel sometimes, don't they? She was anxious about it. She was troubled. She was worried. See, where was dad? What was dad doing? Dad was like, hey, you know, he's a kid. You know, he's a boy. He's going to run off. No. Mom says, look, we were worried about you. We were troubled. And notice Jesus' response. He says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? And then I love this statement in verse 50. Now, if you have teenagers, Jesus was close to being a teen. We might as well say in that culture he was. Notice this next statement. They did not understand what he was saying to them. Isn't that a statement for mothers of teenagers? He didn't understand. There again is that challenge of mothering, understanding who this child is. Well, when I thought about the difficulties and challenges of Mary, another one came to mind. Not only was Jesus, when he was conceived, this created a problem for Mary in her pregnancy. Not only was this problem with Jesus and the temple, but there's this story in John chapter 2 about Mary and Jesus at the wedding in Cana. Let me read a portion of that. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. The disciples also been invited to the wedding, and when the wine was gone, who speaks up? It's Jesus' mother. Jesus' mother says to him, they have no more wine. Jesus responds, dear woman. And of course, in their culture, that was a respectful way. It's almost like saying, ma'am. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus said, my time has not yet come. And by that, perhaps he meant the time for his glory to be revealed as the Son of God. This, of course, was the first miracle that Jesus performed. Jesus' miracles and the power of God reflected the glory of God and who he was. But Jesus tried to explain, my time has not yet come. Notice here, mom, it didn't matter what he said, right? Look, do whatever he tells you, she says to the servants. Jesus said, no, I can't do this. Mom says, no, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. Nearby, the scripture says, there were 6 stone water jars, the kind that were used for the Jews for ceremonial washing. Each one held 20 to 30 gallons. And so Jesus, being the obedient son, now he's an adult now, right? But still, he's going to be obedient. He says to the servants, fill the jars with water. They fill them to the brim. Of course, it turns to wine. Of course, the master says, look, most people, they bring out the good stuff first so that when people are drunk, you can bring out the bad stuff and people won't notice. But you've waited until the last to bring out the best. You see, even as mothers, when their children are adults, you still don't cease to become a mother. There's still that involvement in the life of your adult child. And mothers' hearts are broken when you try to guide them in a particular direction and they decide to go on their own. That's the nature of an adult. An adult is now independent. They can think on their own. You have reared them. You have tried to lay a foundation. But yet sometimes they make choices that you would not have made. And so even as an adult, you as a mother still try to influence that adult child. That seemed to be what was going on here at this wedding. I talked to my mother last night. I usually try to get the call in a day ahead. You know, the phone companies say the busiest phone day of the year is Mother's Day. So I try to beat that. I get there on Saturday. And so I was talking to my mother last night. Of course, she was here on April 17th when we began the preaching work here. And so she said, you know, I really enjoyed it down there. The people are great. And we're just so happy that the Lord blessed you and Jackie to be there. I said, yeah, Mom, we feel the same way. And she says, you know, and by the way, you could wear a tie once in a while. I said, Mom, I wore one on Easter Sunday. I will do that. But you see how that goes? Moms are still involved, especially if you're a preacher, you know. They still like, you know, guiding you a little bit. What we see here, I think, going on partially is that there's this distance that occurs in terms of your burden from your child as an adult and the fact that they now have the freedom to make their own decisions. You're not sure if they're going to decide the way you want them to. I think that was a challenge for Mary. Well, there was another occasion in the life of Mary that was mentioned as well. This one's found in Matthew chapter 12. And that has to do with this brief description of Jesus being in a home and someone comes out and announces that his mother and some of the other members of his family are there. It's found in Matthew chapter 12. Verse 46 says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told them, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. Now notice his reply, verse 48. He said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? He points to his disciples and he says, here are my mother and my brothers. Now it's possible that Jesus' mother and his half-brothers, essentially, because Mary and Joseph had other children after Jesus was born, it's possible that maybe they were coming to kind of rescue Jesus. Because, of course, they had followed him in his ministry. They had heard what was happening, the fact that Jesus was being accused of even having a demonic spirit in him. And so perhaps he's being rescued by them. And it's so crowded in the house that they cannot get in. And so a messenger comes and says, you know, your mom's outside. Your brothers are outside. And Jesus says, who is my mother? You know, normally you would say, well, yeah, bring them right in. Come, you know, bring them right in. They're welcome. They should have the best seats. But Jesus says, who is my mother? What I sense here is a sense of distancing that happens between a mother and a child. I think it happens when children begin to walk. That when your child begins to walk. See, before that, you're carrying them. They're with you all the time. But when they start walking, what do? They walk away, don't they? I think you feel this also the first day of school. You feel it more at graduation. You feel it more when they get their first job and they move away from the city that they grew up in. I think they experience it, especially with sons, when they get a girlfriend. And when he marries her and the mother is no longer the number one woman in his life. I think we see this distancing with Jesus and Mary at this point. When I think about all the challenges that Mary faced, the challenges regarding her pregnancy and Jesus at the temple and at the wedding, at this house where Jesus did not come out to see them, there's no question that the greatest challenge that Mary had was seeing her son on the cross. John put it this way. In John 19, verse 25, it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Over my many years of preaching, I've officiated and attended funerals during which a child was being memorialized in the presence of a grieving mother. There's nothing that sinks the heart more than that image. I remember when I was in Seattle, there was a woman who had come to Mississippi. Her 25-year-old daughter had been discovered dead. She had come up on the bus to identify the body. She called the church building. I answered the phone. She explained the situation. I picked her up from the bus station, took her to the hospital. I stood next to her as they opened the curtain, and there her daughter was laying there. During the 8 years while ministering in Detroit, there's several occasions, when mothers buried their children. One of the saddest was a young lady who was pregnant 5 months. She was a passenger in an automobile. The car was T-boned on the passenger side. She was injured very seriously, but she lost the child. And you go to the funeral, and there's this little box. It's so sad. Well, here was the mother of Jesus watching him die. Well, of course, in the case of Mary, her mourning was turned into joy because she was able to rejoice in her son's resurrection. But for these mothers, their only hope is to see them once again in the hereafter. Well, this morning, I hope you understand and affirm, especially those of us who are not mothers, that the task of mothering is challenging. It's difficult, even if you have a perfect child. And that's why we want to honor them this morning and recognize them for their work. We're going to be having a special prayer in just a moment. One of our shepherds here, Jim Dixon, is going to come forward and lead us in that prayer. But as mothers today, we want to honor you. We want to recognize you. We want to encourage you because God himself will give you wisdom to nurture your children. God will give you patience to bear with them. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard, but he'll help you. And most of all, God will give you the love so that you can continue to give your best for them. Jim, would you come and lead our prayer at this time?